Hey, this is Craig Dean, and we're continuing our discussion on money on demand. And since it is such a tool for me in my business, what I really want to cover right now is I want to cover how to build large opt-in email lists. Over and over again, if you've listened to me or if you've really studied throughout this tape series, you're going to notice that I talk a lot about the power that's in my email list. How I'll send out an email to my opt-in list, bring in $31,000. Send out another email another time, bring in $10,000. Regularly, just about every single week, I send an email to my list and bring in between $2,000 and $5,000. That's just a normal process in my business and part of my internet money on demand system. And the real key for building that type of income from the internet, building that type of list that you can profit from anytime you want, is basically learning how to build the list itself. A lot of times online, you're going to get offers in your email from companies that want to sell you, say, 1 million email addresses. They want to sell you 5 million email addresses. Well, guess what? If you purchase that for whatever cost that they're selling it for, $300, $3,000, it doesn't matter. But if you purchase those lists and try to mail out to them, you're going to have some serious repercussions from your actions. You're probably going to lose your web host, and you're going to lose your ISP, your internet service provider, and you're probably going to lose your reputation online for your business. Because that's what we call spam or bulk email, contacting people who have not contacted you before by email. What I'm talking about when I'm talking about building large email lists, I'm talking about opt-in email lists of people who have asked for me to send them information by email. From my specific situation, in my business, that is my web gold e-zine, my electronic magazine that I send out every week or every other week to my list. That's the list that I built. Right now, we're just over 40,000 subscribers, and that's a lot of subscribers by internet terminology, and we're also growing by close to 1,000 subscribers every week lately from all the different things that we have in action building our subscriber database. Well, guess what? I've learned how to build large email lists online. Last year, at the beginning of last year, we only had 7,000 opt-in email list members. Right now, we have over 40,000. That's some pretty large growth by anybody's terms. And we're continuing to grow. One of our goals in our business is to try to build that list up to 100,000 members for our money on demand system. And the strategies that I have in place are what I'm going to be talking to you about now. Basically, there's 7 different strategies I have for building my opt-in list, both in my own business and in businesses of those that I consult with. The first strategy that I use and recommend that everybody do is you need to put forms for signing up to your opt-in list on every single page of your website. No matter what type of opt-in email list you're doing, whether it might be an e-zine, whether it might be a newsletter you send out once in a while, maybe it's specific offers that you send out with a little bit of content, it doesn't matter. You need to have sign-up forms on every single page of your website. I make it a priority in my business. If you go over to any of my websites, you're going to see that one of the first things you see is the ability to sign up for my opt-in email list. And along with the same tool, and we're still talking about number one, put it on your website, I always have some type of good benefit, some type of bribe that I give you if you'll sign up for my email list. One of the bribes that I like to give away is I have a book called 101 High Profit Businesses You Can Start Online with Little or No Money. This book is in ebook form, which means people can download it from my website and read it on their computer. Well, if you sign up for my e-zine, you immediately have access to this book. If you give me your email address, you get the book. That's how I convince people to sign up for my email list. It used to be online that people would sign up just by saying that you have emails that you're going to send them about a specific subject. That's not true anymore because there's so many different e-zines out there and so many email lists. If you're going to sign people up on your website, you're going to have to give them something of benefit, a benefit that they can receive right now for signing up for your list. And for me, I use this ebook as the benefit you get when you sign up for my list. Whatever you're doing, think of something that you can give away to sign up for your list. If you want to, you can go over to my website at bizpromo.com, download that ebook, and you can give that ebook away to your list too. If you want and that will give you something to give away for your list. And if you do that, you can take my ebook for free. I'll give you the right to it. You just put it on your website, and you tell people that they want this ebook, they have to sign up for your email list. Now, lest you think that I'm just being really generous, guess what? I'm applying here. I'm also applying a traffic virus technique, which is I'm allowing you to give away my good content because you're going to bring more people to get to know who I am. Because that ebook has my name in it, and it keeps my name on it. But so it's a win-win situation. You'll get more subscribers, and I'll get more traffic at my website also. And so everybody wins in that situation. So that's step one, is come up with some type of benefit, something that you can instantly give people, instant gratification, if they sign in up your opt-in list, and put that on every single page of your website. The second technique that I use to build my list quickly is I also use pop-up boxes on my website. And there's basically two different types of pop-up boxes that people use on websites. And a pop-up box, just to give you a simple definition of what it is if you come into my website, say that you go over to the Net Breakthroughs website, you go in and you look at the cells there, and you decide to click away or your attention goes and you go to another website, as you leave the website, another browser will pop up on your screen telling you that you'll get this free ebook if you subscribe to my e-zine. So guess what? It's like a second chance at the website. I use it on other websites also. When you come into one of my websites, it's Biz Promo. The main presentation there is for the e-zine. And we also have a pop-up box, which is another browser that pops up on your screen to ask you if you want to subscribe to Web Gold. And what we've found is although some people say that pop-up boxes annoy people, we found that it really increases our subscriber percentage. Such as a lot of times from a Web Gold website, you might get around a 10% subscribe rate. Well, by using a pop-up box, we've been able to push that up to 30% for many of our websites. 30% of the visitors who visit our website end up signing up for our opt-in email list. And that's powerful for your business to get that kind of response rate of people signing up. And we do that through using pop-up boxes. The thing that really annoys people, and this is one thing I want to put in here as caution, if you're going to use pop-up boxes, is use a pop-up box only for the purpose of giving something away free, especially to get the email address. Don't have a pop-up box or another website pop-up with another sales offer or with an offer from somebody else's website or anything of that nature. Use it only for one purpose, and that's to get people to give you their email address in exchange for something that you give them for free right now. And if you use it in that type of terminology and use that type of technique, you're going to find that it builds your email list much quicker than just relying on your website. A third technique that we use to build our email list is that we sign up for all the e-zine databases. Online, there are a lot of websites now, what we call e-zine databases, that you can go over and you can put your e-zine down, you can give them your e-zine name and a short, basically almost like a classified ad for your e-zine, and they'll list it there for anybody who wants to subscribe to e-zine. Just as an example, you can go over to lifestylespub.com, and you can put your e-zine in there. You can also tell them about ads if you sell ads. And they have a whole ad database also. Not only do they help you get subscribers, but they also can help you sell advertising in your e-zine if you choose to sell advertising. So that's another way that you can start building your email list. And for that, basically just go one of the search engines. Go to a search engine such as Google.com or any of the others and look up for e-zine list databases. Or free e-zine list databases. And you'll end up having a lot of different places that come up that you're allowed to submit your e-zine for free. Now, these databases are slowly dying out. Now, whereas you used to be able to maybe find 100 of these lists, you're going to probably find closer to 30, 40, or 50 now, because a lot more of these databases that used to be free for you are changing over to another system, which we call co-registrations, which is my fourth technique for building lists fast. And co-registration is basically it's a terminology that means when someone comes to a high-traffic website, let's just say that you're a visitor and you're going to come to my website and I have a lot of traffic at my site, I might have like a free offer, such as a contest or something else, and I might have 10 or 20 different e-zines listed on my site for you to checkmark. You checkmark the ones you'd like to receive, type in your email address, and click on submit, and you might be subscribing to 5, 10 e-zines at one time. Well, what happens is all of these e-zines, they're paying what we call co-registration fees, which is they pay the big website maybe 25 cents to 50 cents per subscriber generated from their form. So you're opting in to an e-zine, such as we use this ourselves in our business. We use one that's over at ProfitInfo.com as one of the companies that we work with. That's ProfitInfo.com, all as one word. We use that as one of the co-registration techniques at that site. We pay right around 25 cents a piece. We may put down a deposit, say, of $250. And then that means that for the next 1,000 subscribers that come to their site, checkmark Web Gold, they get sent over to me, and they just slowly take it away from the deposit that I made for them. And this generates a large number of subscribers. For us, for example, that one right there generates around 150 subscribers a day. And that's a lot of subscribers to be generating a day. And they're only one of many different co-registration companies. If you want to find a lot of co-registration companies, then you can go over to zmedia.com. That's just zmedia.com. And you'll find a list of right around 50 co-registration companies in all different markets that will help you build lists very quickly, opt-in lists, and they'll use that same technique. They'll have a list of different easings on their site, and people can checkmark which ones they want to subscribe to. And they'll build lists very quickly for you. Like I said, 150 a day is quite a lot of subscribers to be adding to a day. Another way that we actually build up our subscriber base, and this will require you to actually start getting to a point where you have at least a few subscribers on your list, at least a couple hundred, and that is through trading ads with other e-zines. We've used this quite successfully, especially when we were a smaller size. Once you get to the large size like we are now with 40,000 subscribers, it's hard to find other e-zines to trade with fairly. But when you're a smaller size of only having a few hundred or a few thousand, there are dozens and dozens of other e-zines out there that will trade you ad space in each other so you can build your list. For example, if I have 2,000 subscribers and you have 2,000 subscribers, I might say, you give me your six-line ad, and I'll give you my six-line ad, and we'll run in each other's easing with a free offer on it, such as that free book that we use on our website, and we'll build up our easing list. Or if, say, I have 2,000 and you have 1,000, we might say that you have to run my ad twice in exchange so that we get the same amount of exposure. And you're going to find that a lot of easings, this is one of the major ways they build subscriber lists, because it's a free technique, and it can generate a lot of subscribers for you just by trading ads with each other, with the other e-zines in your market. Another technique we use is we basically go straight out and we use advertising. I will place banner ads, and we do it often, or I will pay for e-zine ads in real large e-zines, but giving away a free offer again, such as my free ebook, if you subscribe to my e-zine, I will actually target the e-zine first in my advertising instead of a product in many cases, because if I can get them on my e-zine, I can sell them a multitude of products. Or if I just went and sold one product, that might be it, and that might be all that I end up selling to those customers. Say, for example, I choose to place an ad. We'll say a $100 ad. I might be able to sell 20 $20 products or bring in $400 right now, so a $300 profit. Well, I might take that same $100 ad and add in 200 new subscribers to my e-zine. Well, those 200 new subscribers are worth a minimum of $3 a year and often more like $5 to $10 a year. So let's just take the minimum of $3. $3 times 200 is $600 that they're going to generate for me this year. Guess what? That'll be next year, too, that they'll generate that for me. So I'm actually making more money by advertising the e-zine than I am a product directly. Because once they're on my list, I can run one product after another to the list, generating my money on demand system straight to these lists. one of the most powerful techniques of all that I've used quite effectively to build my list is joint ventures. And in joint venture, what that basically means is different e-zine publishers work together for the goal of building a subscriber base. And, for example, on my website, one technique that I worked with some other very good publishers was that we basically wrote up an article about some of the best e-zines online, which was us together. It was all the publishers that were grouped together. It was around 5 of us at the time, and we really loved each other's e-zines. So I wrote up an article about everybody else's e-zine, and all the publishers ran that article in their e-zine, and each one of us picked up over 1,000 subscribers because of the recommendations of each other's e-zines in that one article. And guess what? A lot of other e-zines ended up picking up that article and running that article in their e-zines as well, and generated a few hundred more subscribers each through that joint venture growing on its own. That's joint venture technique number one that we use to build our list. Number two, a second joint venture technique that we've used is that several other e-zine publishers and myself, if we have a lot of subscribers from our website, say for example, we each had 50 subscribers a day coming in from our website, four of us might band together, and then the moment you subscribe to my e-zine, I'll offer the other three publishers' e-zines to you. And they'll do the same for me. We, each of us, you subscribe to our e-zine, we make the offers for the other companies. And now we've changed, whereas we might have been generating 50 subscribers a day for ourselves, now we generate an extra 100 through each other's techniques, and we're generating 150 subscribers instead of just 50 subscribers. And that grows our list so much quicker and really gives us the type of size we have now of growing up and generating this money on demand. And as your list keeps growing by each of these techniques that you have in place, you're going to find that the money on demand just keeps on growing at a larger scale. Whereas you were making maybe when you first start out, you might be happy if you make $20 worth of sale and you're easing on the first issue. Well, later on, as your database grows, you'll be making a few hundred. Then you go up into the thousands. And it just keeps on growing as your list grows. It becomes a money on demand system, money that you can generate anytime you want as the list size grows.
Boy, I tell you what, Terry, that's a real well laid out plan. And I really appreciate you. I was taking notes like crazy. I really appreciate you giving us those references that we can go to and do what you've done, because, you know, and I hope everybody recognizes it. What you're talking about is really focusing in on where the money is, and as a perfect example of that, which I know is hard for some people to understand at first, is the fact that you don't advertise to get people to buy something when you run an e-zine ad. You're talking about advertising to give them something. You're giving them the free e-zine subscription because you've got them captured.
Yeah, that's it. And we actually go to it. That's not a new idea. In offline advertising, such as magazine advertising, when somebody runs a classified ad, they don't run a classified ad to sell a product. They run it so that someone will receive a free report, for example. And that's exactly what I'm talking about here, is instead of often advertising something directly, I'll advertise basically a free report series, which would be in my e-zine. And at that way, we're following the exact same model that's been around for decades.
It's classic two-step marketing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Of course, there's one giant difference, and that is when they do that offline, each follow-up costs a significant amount of money. And online, it costs how much?
It costs nothing. The only fee that you're going to have in doing all of this follow-up, it's basically just a one monthly fee or a yearly fee, and that doesn't matter how big your list is. And so you're basically getting all your follow-up almost for free instead of all the printing costs that people had to do offline. So basically what you can say is, I'm just taking offline techniques that have worked for decades and applying them to an online market and doing it much quicker and much cheaper.
Well, that's great, and I tell you what, that's a perfect lead-in to what I want to talk about. And basically what I'm going to present to you is Money on Demand, iCopywriting Secrets. And it really is taking direct marketing principles that have worked for years and decades and converting them and tweaking them. So basically, this is a presentation that could sound complicated, but right up front I want you to know we're only going to talk about four things. We're going to talk, about the reason why that money on demand fits when we talk about copywriting. And then we're going to talk about a sales letter, and this is not a substitute for a course. We've got four different courses on copywriting that we market, all the way from a 10-hour course, the iCopywriting Intensive. We've got Ted Nicholas products. We've got Brian Keith Foyles. We've got Copywriting Classics, where you got some of the old masters. And you can get all that, by the way, up at instantinternetmarketing.com if you're interested. But what this is we're going to be talking about the sales letter on and offline. Then we're going to talk about iCopywriting for the web and iCopywriting for email. So also, I hope you got your pencil and your paper handy, because you're going to get a few URLs. Money on demand. I tell you, there's nothing I know, and I'm enchanted with the process, that is actually creating money out of thin air. I mean, where nothing existed before, you write a sales letter, and of course part of this integral process is that you create a product or repackage a product, but it's a sales letter that does the conversion. You write a sales letter and you've created money where none existed before. It is truly a license to print money. And we can talk a lot about the effectiveness and the importance, but just a few quick examples. You can do, I remember the first time I did it, I wrote out a sales letter. The first time I sent it out, I made $11,000. I thought that was great. Guess what, though? That continued to earn money. And then, of course, I ran across Terry Dean, and we were at a seminar one time, and he sends out a well-written offer. And a few days later, he's pulled in $55,000. Now, this is for the work for basically a long weekend. Jeff Gardner tells me, he says, hey, man, he says, sales are down. I've got to do something, so I'm going to write a sales letter. He writes a sales letter, and in 60 days, he's earned $74,000. I'll never forget the first time I wrote a sales letter and sent it out to 40 of my prime customers, just 40. And a few weeks later, I had $30,000. We're talking about stuff. Now, but we're talking about that same sales letter, right? That money on demand. We're talking about instant payday, but we're also talking about that sales letter can last forever and ever. For instance, back in 1994, I wrote my very first sales letter, and I had, by the way, studied courses by Ted Nicholas and Brian Keith Foyles. Actually studied letters by Brian Keith Foyles. And I went and wrote my first sales letter. Well, that sales letter began to earn money immediately. To this date, it's earned over $1 million worth. And, you know, that's money on demand. I know that, hey, anytime I want more money, I can send out that sales letter, send out an e-zine that talks about it, right? And it'll happen. So it's really basic, because the force of your business is in your sales letter. My mother, God bless her soul, she always had this folky saying that, you know, you build a better mousetrap and the world will be the pathway to your door. Nothing could be further from the truth, because just because you have a better mousetrap doesn't mean anybody's going to know about it. So your sales letter is where the rubber meets the road. It's the persuasive, informative moment where you let people, hopefully people who have problems with mice and rats, or whatever your particular product is, you let people know that you've got a product, and you let them know how superior your product is and why they should act on that immediately to alleviate their problem, to give them the lifestyle that they want. So it is the persuasive moment. And again, money on demand, it is instant, and it can also be ongoing, which I love that. And one of the other things that we talk about, and I'm not going to develop this point real deeply, but it's significant that we get clear on it before we go into some of the other ideas, is that small changes can make a big difference. In my book, Mail Order Riches, for instance, I showed how making a few percentage points of change on a number of different things those things being your easing ad would be more effective. Your headline on your web page would be more effective. You add a stronger guarantee, which motivates people to act. And by the way, there are people out there who don't offer guarantees, and that could also partially be illegal if you're not announcing it. In addition to the fact that it doesn't help sales, bonuses and everything, but it's pretty easy to bring a production that could be earning somewhere in the neighborhood of $103,000 up to $725,000. And that is by tweaking the elements. And you send out a sales letter, you send out a promotion, you've got your back end working, you can bring those things in. So it's very vitally important what we're talking about. And of course, tied into this is, let's talk about the sales letter. Now again, this is not a course, but here's how simple I want to understand that the sales letter is. The sales letter, when I look at it, the simplest, don't get no simpler than this formula. It's only got 9 points, and you can note these down because you take them in order. Number one, there's always going to be a headline, and that headline is always going to make a promise, get their attention, appeal to their interest, offer a benefit that you know your target audience needs. Number two, you're going to have to work with and make sure you have an effective and arresting opening paragraph. Very effective to tell a story, put the prospect in the picture, amazing facts, get something going. Number three, you're going to have to quickly, and not at great depth, but you've got to quickly prove why this person should listen to you. Because everybody who reads an email piece, who reads a website, who gets an announcement on the radio, TV, whatever it is, they're always thinking, what's in it for me, and how do I know this person can deliver it? And that, by the way, of course, is why the BBB, the Better Business Bureau, has been so strong, because everybody's always wanting to know and check up, so you offer that. You're going to then go into number four, the features and benefits of your product. In other words, you're going to describe your product, primarily what it does, and I don't mean what it does as much as I mean what it does emotionally for the person. In other words, any lawnmower will cut grass, but if you're selling lawnmowers, you're going to want to offer your advantages. Hey, this is a riding lawnmower. You don't have to get tired. You don't have to get dirty, and you can cut your lawn straight, and it will smell so good, and you'll be the pride of your neighborhood. So those are what it does and how it benefits the user. You're also, number five, always thinking about how do you get your USP involved in a sales letter. And it's important that you let people know that you've got something, that you're unique, and that they can't get it, what you're offering, anywhere else. Because if they think they can go anywhere else anytime. And you're going to be telling them now, you know, in your number six point, you're going to make an offer. You're going to, the whole point of a sales letter is to be persuasive, is to get people to convert. Don't weenie out there at the end. So when you also make that offer, you're also always, as a matter of course, going to be thinking of how many bonuses you can add in so that you raise the value. And you're going to be talking about the warranty so that you raise the value. And the warranty and the credentializing component I was talking about work together. You make people feel comfortable with that warranty. Then you're going to have a call to action, again, with a scarcity component. You know, you've seen this, of course. Act within the next 10 days. I only have a certain number of these printed up. When you're writing, and by the way, you won't always do this, but this is your model. When you're writing something that will end up looking very similar to a sales letter, you want to make sure you include a P.S. And, of course, the ninth and final point, the whole point of everything, is the ordering device. And, you know, how you have that hooked up, of course, is with your own particular points. So, basically, we've just discovered, and this is the old age, old formula that mail order has used, and now we're using it on the web, and we're using it in easing things, and we're using it everywhere we go, is the formula. And it just runs 9 points from the headline down to the ordering device. Follow that, and your sales letters will come out looking real good. Now, there's a number of other technical points, right? But basically, we're going to move on right here. I want to talk a little bit about copywriting for the web, because that's our main interest, the web and email. Now, there's an important aspect of copywriting which I'm not going to mention today, but for a copywriter and a webmaster, it is very important, and that's your search engine copywriting, getting your title work done, your meta tags, you know, you even choosing your URL. So that's a whole other thing I want you to be aware of and think a part of it. Right now, I just want to talk about the sales letters and things that have made the web, the breakthroughs that we found that have made effectiveness possible and probable for you on the web. By the way, for a few good examples of this, too, I'd like to give you those URLs I promised you. You can go to Terry Dean's netbreakthroughs.com. Yannick Silver has a, it's about sales letters, so it should be good, has a very well-written sales letter on his website at instantsalesletters.com. There's another guy that you should see, amazingformula.com. That is Marlon Sanders' site. Kurt has a good job on ediamondbrokers.com. And, of course, I'd invite you to get up to my own two sites, instantinternetmarketing.com and realprofit.com. Now, you follow up on those six examples, and you follow along with this tape, and you'll have plenty to keep you busy and to learn from. But here's what I want to reveal now. 10 hot lessons learned from the front lines of the battle of the web, because sometimes it seems like a battle. What you want to do, you want to make sure that in spite of getting your sales letter, right, you're going to make it load fast. That is, of course, you'll be light on the graphics, strong on text, strong on tables, strong on multiple pages. A focused offer is definitely going to convert more. Now, that focused offer Terry was talking about, for instance, that focused offer could be two-step. Sign up for the e-zine. You have no risk. Or it can be a product, and most internet marketers say the best product price for a straight-off-the-web first-time visitor conversion is going to be anywhere from $10 to $99. Headlines are still the most important part of your sales letter, your website, your email, because that's what people see to make their decision whether they're going to read more. It's the ad for the ad. Your sales letters on the web need to be a little bit more punchy, direct, clear than they do offline. They can ramble on a little bit more offline. On the web, it needs to get more to business. Big font is the winner. Using fewer words, using words more clearly. Stay away from exotic fonts that are hard to read. Upper left on your web page is a good hot spot. That's why you see a lot of times that's where the navigation bars go, so you need to be aware of that. You want to keep your content above the fold, we say. There's an emphasis. You want to make sure you get your USP, get your headline, so that when people see their first screenful, they are seeing enough to make the decision to move on. And by the way, I said keep the content. I didn't mean all the content above the fold, but I meant what's going to be motivating above the fold. Because the other side of that is you got to give them sufficient content to want to click through. And remember now, once you get going, you don't have to have your page loading so fast as we talked 6 or 7 seconds. Interior pages, you still need to be thinking, though. We chosen ourselves as 22 points. It's on 28.8 modem, by the way. 22 seconds is the click point. And also, copywriting basic. Give them the ability to order at any point. In other words, they don't have to go to the end of the sales letter, and especially if it's multi-page, like 4 to 6 pages, you don't want to have to go all the way to the end. Navigation bar on the side, order now is good. So those are things that can make a difference on your website. Now I want to jump quickly into iCopywriting email. And here I've got 11 basic points. Number one, your subject is your headline. You get one shot, so make it work. However, here's 1A, is your subject line is your headline, so you need to be descriptive, you need to be honest, but you got to avoid hype. On the internet, the words that are so powerful offline, free, amazing, breakthrough, a lot of times those are spam indicator words and people don't open them, or some of the automatic spam things get them off, so you got to avoid that hype. Number two, think when you're writing your email of a memo-style heading, table of contents, short, direct. Personalize it. Your response will go up dramatically, and if you need a website or a system to do that, autopilotriches.com is the foremost one that we recommend. There's a number of different programs that'll do that. Basically thinking short on your web advertisements, on your promotions. And what is short? Well, it could be anywhere from a page to 7 pages, but you're thinking short. You're not going to want someone to print off an email of 21 pages, you're really thinking about containing hyperlinks to the web page, and that's point number five. You're trying to get them to the web page primarily because the web page is where you've really got your sales letter. The email marketing is a relationship building tool, is a lead generator to get them to go to the web. Here's a technical point, but it's important. Make sure that your characters are cut off. Your line is no more than 55 to 60 characters in length. Otherwise, it'll come printed off one long line, one short line, and it gets real annoying. On the web, in your emails, remember to PS. Point number eight, always include an opt-out in your email correspondence. By the way, at this point, the legislation that's all being batted around, and who knows what will come down, but we do know that one of the main common points that all the email legislation has is there's got to be, number one, an accurate return address, and number two, a way to opt out. And so basically for us, of course, that's not an issue. We're sending stuff we want people to respond to us, but always include an opt out. Number nine is you can include a telefriend offer in your email, and people pass it along when you have something good to say. And the tenth and final point is I say be cautious with HTML email that comes across and it reads like in a browser. I don't say don't do it, but it's something that you need to do consciously and be aware of your market and maybe do some research. So that was the quick tour of money on demand from one little document, and I gave you the points that I pull out of it, all of my experience that I think are the most important today so that you can earn money immediately, money on demand, and out of these same tools, these same letters, you can earn long-term residual income, money on demand, and that is great.
That's fantastic, Ted. I mean, those tools that you gave us, the step-by-step formula, those are really going to help a lot of people just simply listen to this tape, you know, check out the sites that you mentioned and start plugging away with their first sales letter. That's amazing.
That's how easy it happens, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more. Yeah, the main focus being you just have to get started. You don't have to get it right the first time. You just have to get started and start working on it.
Absolutely, that's the biggest hurdle of all.
That's the biggest hold up for most people is they just simply never take the action necessary to get any results, let alone get good results. Well, I'll continue with the portion of the tape that I'm going to cover. And what we're going to talk about on this section ties in very, very nicely with what Terry and Ted have already said. Now, what we're going to talk about is how to turn a much greater percentage of visitors to your site into buyers and why that's nothing else matters on your website. And this is a thing that's going to be really mind-expanding for most of the listeners to this tape because it's something that I doubt they will have heard before. We're going to talk about a concept called conversion rate and why that equates directly to the success of your website. Conversion rate is the percentage of visitors to your website that do exactly what you would hope that they do. So, for example, if we get 100 visitors in a day to our site and one of them buys, we have a 1% conversion rate. Now, by conversion rate, on some sites, the conversion rate isn't to make a sale. For example, if Terry Dean on his main bizpromo.com site, if the main goal that he's decided is to get people to sign up for his e-zine, and if he gets 100 visitors and 30 of them sign up for his e-zine, he would have a conversion rate of 30%. So basically, you need to decide on exactly what you'd like to, if the world were perfect, what everyone to your website, who came to your website would do. And that percentage, compared to the total number of visitors that come to your website, is your conversion rate. So, on a lead generation site, to fill on a form, on a retail site, to place an order, on a content site, it's time to sign up for an e-sign. And so that is a very, very important concept. And so this is something to write down. If you haven't done this yet, you absolutely, positively must know what the conversion rate of your website is. If you don't know what your conversion rate is, you're basically flying blind. There's no way that you can make any really substantial money on the web until you have this concept firmly ingrained in your mind. Okay, now here's the reasons that the conversion rates matter so much. Because the most overlooked aspect of marketing, and this happens to everyone regardless who they are, is that they don't make sure that they're getting everything that they can from what they've already got. Now, let's think about it. On the web, it's pretty hard to find things. I mean, it's not just a simple matter of sitting down a search engine and typing in one word and you find exactly the site you're looking for. If somebody happens to simply wander into your site, that's very rare. A vast majority of the visitors to your site are there because they're interested in what you have to offer. And that's true for almost any site. You know, if someone finds us through the search engines, well, obviously, they must have been somewhat qualified because they typed in some search engine phrase that led them to our site. You know, increasing our conversion rate on the site is by far the cheapest way to make more money off our website. It's a simple matter of, you know, we'll give you a simple example of how conversion rate works. Suppose that, you know, you sell some special type of Italian shoe or something like that online, and you currently get 3,000 visitors per week, and you make 30 sales per week. So your conversion rate is 1%, right? And so, let's say you have an average order size of $100. So put that simply, you're making gross sales per week of $3,000. So you have an option. One, you want to increase the amount of the sales that you have coming to the site. One, you could spend more money on advertising. Or two, you could increase your conversion rate. Now, at this point, most people would say, well, let's just spend the money on advertising. I mean, that's the simplest way to do it. Conversion rate, that's too vague. Let's just not worry about that. But let's see how the numbers work out when we show you this specific example. And this is very realistic. Because what we want to do is double the site traffic to 6,000 visitors per week with option number one, spending more money on advertising. We say, okay, we want to double the site visitors from 3,000 to 6,000. And if we're like most web businesses out there, you know, we decide to do one of the forms of advertising. We're generically going to call it banner advertising. It doesn't necessarily have to be banner advertising, but that's the example we're going to use. And so what would that cost to increase our traffic from 3,000 visitors to 6,000? Well, we're going to assume a couple things. Banner advertising currently gets about 1% click-through across all industries, and that's, you know, basically a very, very poor response. But suppose that we're very, very optimistic and we've studied banner ads and we've studied all the direct response banner ad products on the market, and we're very optimistic and we think we can get 3% response. So to get that additional 3,000 visitors a day to our site, the 3% click-through, we need to buy 100,000 banner impressions. Okay, so stay with me here. And banner ads are sold in blocks of 1,000 units, so we need to buy 100 blocks. And the average price of each unit, say, is going to be $25. So to get that extra traffic to our site, we'd spend $2,500 per week to get those extra 3,000 visitors. So what's the final result? On this option number one, if we wanted to make more sales on our website and we chose to do it by doubling our visitors from 3,000 to 6,000, we'd end up spending $2,500 per week to double our traffic, and we get another 3,000 visitors. So we'd predictably get about another 30 orders, you know, because we have still the same conversion rate, 1%, and we make another $3,000 in gross profit. So essentially, here's the clincher. We'd end up spending $2,500 to make only $3,000 in sales. Now, for most businesses that don't have an extremely high profit margin of over 90%, that's a losing proposition. We'd lose money doing that. But all the numbers that we used are, you know, totally legitimate. They're, you know, the averages for this industry. You see how discouraging that would be? You wanted to run this campaign to make more money, and you actually lose money? Banner advertising or getting more traffic to our site is we could spend some time and increase the conversion rate of our site, because currently it's 1%, right, like we talked about in the beginning. The other advantage of this is it doesn't cost any real money to do this. We don't have to pay any money out to do it. We can do it all on our own. So let's say instead of spending any real money, we decide to do the work ourselves and spend 40 hours of our time. Now, for the purposes of this, we're going to have to figure out, you know, how much that cost is in our time. So we're going to say, average, you know, if you do it yourself, if you're a small startup business or you, you know, have one of your employees do it, I'm going to say that's, you know, worth $20 an hour. So that work is going to cost you $800. You know, $20 per hour, and you spend 40 hours doing it away from some other profitable activity that you could, that you could be doing. Okay. And, you know, so most of what you're going to be doing in this time of this 40 hours is going to be applying the internet marketing knowledge that you have, that you've gleaned from reading e-zines, that you've gleaned from reading courses. And let's say that you figure out in this 40 hours, let's be very conservative, you figure out how to increase your conversion rate by a half of 1%. So now your conversion rate is 1.5% instead of the 1% you started with. That doesn't sound like much going in. You spent 40 hours to do that, to increase it by a half a percent. But let's see what happens on those results. So before, you had a 1% conversion rate, and you were getting 30 sales per week for $3,000. Now, with a 1.5% conversion rate, you're going to make 45 sales per week for $4,500. So you've essentially increased the revenue of your site by $1,500 per week forever by that one-time $40 time investment. Now, of those two options that we talked about, option one, we could spend $2,500 in hard cash to make $3,000 on a one-shot basis using the banner advertising like we talked about in the first example. Or option two, we could spend $800 of our time, no out-of-pocket investment, and increase our revenue to our site by $1,500 per week forever. Now, dear listeners, I hope you're seeing the power of this and why this is so critically important. This is one of the most underlooked aspects of internet marketing. Hardly anyone talks about it, but this ties in so beautifully with what Ted and Terry have been talking about, especially what Ted has been talking about with the copywriting. Copywriting is so critical. Any little tiny thing that we can do to increase our conversion rate by just a tiny, tiny amount is going to increase the revenues and profits that we make from our site forever. It's not a one-time effect like advertising. It's a lifetime effect. So, in conclusion, I urge you, I beg you, everyone who's listened to this tape, to do whatever they can to increase their marketing knowledge by, you know, one, signing up for all the quality internet marketing e-zines out there, and two, to spend time testing and changing things on your website to see what you can do to increase the conversion rate. It will pay for itself within the first couple weeks, and then the profits and the revenues will continue forever. What other input do the other two experts on the call have on conversion rates?
Well, one thing I could mention along with this is I deal with a lot of clients, and almost without fail, they come to me wanting to know how they can generate more traffic to their website.
Exactly.
When their real problem isn't the traffic, it's what they do with the traffic once it gets there.
Right.
And so many of them, they work so hard to generate leads. So they work their butts off to get 1,000 visitors a week. But I go and take one look at their website, and I know it's worthless because the fact that their website isn't going to sell them once they get there. And I really want to tell people, and in my own business, something I focused on more than anything is focus on getting those response rates up. Because if you get the response rates up high enough, you can basically buy traffic.
Exactly.
You can pay for banner ads. You can use pay-per-clicks. There's a lot of places that you can buy traffic if you can profit from it.
Right, exactly. And that's where most people fall down. They create a website, and then they go out and buy the traffic right now, and it's not profitable, and they get discouraged, and they quit. If what they did instead is just do something simple like maybe spend a small amount of money getting some traffic to the site using something like GoTo, and test that traffic to make sure that they're getting an acceptable response rate where they can make a ton of money selling the product before they roll out and actually, you know, buy all kinds of other types of traffic.
And, you know, along the same line, we also, if people want it, we have a free script on our site at bizpromo.com. If you go to bizpromo.com/clicks.zip, there's a free script you can download that basically allows you to do a split test at your website so that your traffic is sent to two different websites.
Exactly, and that's so powerful because you can alter things ever so slightly and see if it increases or decreases the response rate.
Because as what Ted was talking about, and it goes along with what you're talking about too, is you change one headline and it can change the response rate by an incredible
amount.
Incredible amount. And the only way you're going to know is by doing a split test. And that's one thing that people need to be doing online. And I really, and all the consultants I deal with and all the clients I deal with, very few people do any type of split testing or really testing their ads at all.
Exactly. And, you know, one statistical rule to remember just when you're doing these split testings is to always make sure that you get at least 40 responses or 40 variables before you make it a final decision. You know, if you just do it for one day and set up the click script, and in one day, you know, one copy of your site gets two sales and the other gets one, that's not enough statistical information to make the conclusion that the one is better than the other. You have to wait till you get about 40 orders between the two of them. Otherwise, you can come to some erroneous conclusions. But, you know, that aside, it's so important that that people do these things and work on increasing the conversion rate. Because like Terry mentioned, I mean, once you have a very, very high conversion rate, you can afford to spend tons of money to get visitors to your site, and you know it's going to make you money.
And that's really what people need to eventually move to anyways, because a lot of people, they really focus on the free advertising, which is good. But free advertising only seems to take you to a point in generating income. And by that I mean it's you send out articles and things like that to easings and you do a lot of trades and stuff like that. And it might take you up to maybe a profit of $1,000 or $2,000 a week. If you really want to start moving up from that point, you need to work on paid advertising because there's so much unlimited paid advertising out there, and work on your response rates so that you can almost write your own ticket, you know, and your own money on demand system, because if you have a good enough response rate, you basically can buy as much advertising as you need and generate that traffic and make the sale. And along the same lines, I took down a little note while you're talking about the response and really going after that goal of the response and having a most wanted response on your website. That's another mistake I've seen a lot of people making online, is they don't really have a goal for somebody when they get to their website. They might have 10 different links on their website and they don't care. It's almost like, I hope they come and buy something.
Exactly.
And that's no way to be doing business. Every website needs to have one clear focus that they have. You have a specific purpose that you want that person to do when they get there. It might be subscribing to an e-zine. It might be buying an entry-level product. It might be to call you on the phone so you can sell them on the phone, or it might be just to generate leads you mail to. But you need to have a specific goal and specific purpose that you have for your website, that if every web visitor came, you'd want them to do this one thing first.
Exactly. Do you have anything to add on that, Ted, on our conversion?
Well, you know, of course, this subject is just super fascinating to me, and the reason why I've been kind of quiet in the discussion is because I'm just 100, 110% in agreement with everything you've said and everything Terry is saying. And so really what I do have to add is really reinforcing what's been said. It is the conversion. That is the point of how persuasive is your sales letter. And the product has to be good, has to be basic, has to deliver. But beyond that, it's not the product. It is what people see, what people are confronted with to make the emotional, generally, decision to buy or to leave their email address or to move on. And it is your copy. It is your web page layout. And again, you know, it's got to be repetitive, but it's got to convert. And it's why Terry, again, this is copywriting basics. Terry was talking about two-step. And when he writes his ads, and he's not asking for a big offer, that's a conversion point. When you write an ad, your conversion point, your wanted response, is to get them to go and look at the sales letter. The sales letter is where you want to get them to make their conversion point, but that has to be persuasive. So these variables, these leverage points are incredible. And, of course, what I keep coming back to, and you said it again, Kurt, is that these changes, and these massive changes in response and in profitability are essentially, once you've got your system set up and running, are essentially free. What does it cost to do an A-B split to find out that one headline is twice and three times as good, which is very normal, by the way?
Of course, yeah. it's fascinating, this whole concept that on the internet we can essentially engineer our sales letters to a point where they're almost perfect. I mean, you know, if we take the time, we can get sales letters that beat any of our competitions, or, you know, absolutely blow away our competition simply by testing different things and keeping track of our conversion rates.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
At that point, I mean, so many people, like Terry mentioned, just focus on, oh, I got to get more traffic. There are websites out there that have incredibly good conversion rates that are making well over $500,000 a year with just 100 visitors a day.
That's definitely not what people would think, David. People think if they're making $500,000, they need to have thousands and thousands of hits.
Exactly.
And so it has
not
all to do
true.
With the conversion.
Right.
But it's the conversion, and it's also the same line. Something that people don't think about in traffic is 1,000 of visitors that aren't targeted for market really don't matter. I'd rather have one who's excited and ready to buy something show up my website than 1,000 who aren't ready.
Exactly.
Because a lot of, because I've done a lot of tests, and in my debt breakthrough site, I've done a lot of tests of some of the guaranteed visitor sites.
Right, yeah.
And without fail, nothing ever works. Those are worthless visitors.
Yeah.
And every single one of the guaranteed visitors companies, no matter basically almost who they are, they're almost worthless for any type of offer because they're not targeted for anything specific. They're targeted usually for free stuff, and that's all they want.
Exactly.
And that's basically talked about a whole mindset change of, let's go back to the response, what gives us, you know, the best response, and where can we make the most sales? Because I'm not here, you know, my internet business is not there for the purpose of giving away free stuff. It's there for the purpose of selling things. We give away some free stuff on the way to selling things.
Mm-hmm.
But our purpose is to make money in the business.
Exactly. I mean, your purpose isn't to have this humongous site that gets all these visitors, you know, with all these impressions. The purpose is, if you could get one visitor a day and make $1 million a year, I'm sure you'd be happy. I mean, the visitors don't matter. All that matters is how much money we're making from the site.
Well, and of course, we're speaking at a commercial site. I mean, there are, I call it the academic syndrome, and it's not a put-down, but it's the fact that a lot of academics would feel very good just if they knew they had some traffic and people were being exposed to their ideas and they were having their say, right?
Right, exactly.
But we are business commercial people, and cut away all the clatter and cut away all the awards, and our bottom line is what tells us if we're, you know, providing a good service and if we're effectively presenting it or not.
Exactly. Fantastic.
Well, Mr. Terry Dean, I believe you've got an exciting presentation for us.
Well, we're going to keep on going along this same line and increasing the response rate. And I want to talk a little bit about how we can use autoresponder follow-up to increase your response rates at your
website.
Great. And we're basically combining in what we talked about so far, about working on our sales copy, the internet sales copy, and working on increasing our response rates. And one of the biggest tools I've used on my website to generate a higher response rate is through using a follow-up system. And one that I really want people to see that I've used real effectively as a follow-up system is I have a set of internet marketing tips called 115 Tips, which people can get at 115 Tips at aweber.com if they want to see a sample of what I'm talking about. And this is a 7-step email follow-up series that sells our marketing course over at allthesecrets.com. And what I've done with this is basically make a whole collection of some ideas and tips and internet marketing strategies and separate them up into 115 different tips. And they're sent out to your email in basically a 6-part email. It's sent out to people. There's 6 emails with 20 tips on each one. Well, 20 and 15 on the last one. And then we also have a 7th email that comes out, which is almost strictly a sales letter, basically. And why I've done this and what I've done with it is by using this type of system, basically we can often get around a 4 or 5% sales rate, whereas the website sales letter itself, if you just go to the website, we'll often get only around a 2%. Now, there's a big difference in sales, and that's through using email follow-up. And one thing I should mention along the same lines, too, is basically I'm laying out all the secrets to my business here. And one of the techniques I used when I was generating the subscribers from my WebGold newsletter is when you subscribe to WebGold, I have an instant follow-up series that starts on you automatically telling you about NetBreakthrough's website. Right as soon as you subscribe, the next few days you'll get some notices, some basically reports, some training, some samples from NetBreakthrough's, trying to give you a reason to come over to netbreakthroughs.com and sign up. So in other words, I'm generating two purposes at one time in that follow-up series. Is first of all, I'm generating subscribers from an easing that I sell to later on down the road, and I basically sell to every week. But I'm also doing an instant follow-up of around three follow-up messages, is what we have it set up right now, that the moment you sign up, you'll get one message, and the next message a day later, and another message 2 days later, telling you about NetBreakthroughs, telling you why you should be signing up for it also. So you can see not only am I signing up free people for a free easing, but I'm also using follow-up to sell them into a paid product at the same time. Now back to the 115 internet marketing tips. The reason I really want to focus on that, on showing you how to do email follow-up, is because the system I use to create that follow-up is one that really anyone can use in any market because it works so well. A few tips to go along with this, and just so that you understand about using email follow-up, is number one, you always want your email follow-up has to be personalized. We're actually dealing that now so many people get basically hundreds or even thousands of emails in their email boxes, and if you want them to really read your email, you're going to have to personalize it with their name on it. Luckily, just about every autoresponder follow-up system out there now gives you the ability to personalize. And so that would be step one. One of my techniques I use is I always put their name inside of the subject line. I always have their name inside the subject line, or even on the WebGold newsletter itself. It always comes out with such a response such as, "Hi Terry, WebGold is here," or something similar to that, or "Hi Terry," and then the headline of the article that I'm using in e-zine. Because I always want to get their name in there to get their attention and get them to read. Because an old copywriting principle that everyone knows of is that the first thing that someone wants to read is something that has their name in it. And so I always personalize my follow-up emails. And I make sure I personalize both in the subject line, and I'll usually start out with Dear Terry, or Hi Terry, or Hello Terry, or something similar to that to grab their attention. Another thing that you need to really think about when you're doing your autoresponder follow-up is not just to focus on selling. People online, in general, do not like to be sold to. They like to be informed and educated. So step two that I want to talk about in doing autoresponder follow-up is always deal with some type of educating your buyer. Educate them to a buying decision. Think of selling online more as educating your prospect than just in selling your prospect. And by that, I mean that you want to educate them in your benefits. You want to educate them in what you have to offer. But you want to do it quite often in what we would consider more of an educational type material in the follow-up than just in sales type follow-up. Like again, on my 115 internet marketing tips, which does better than a sales letter from the website, what I'll do is each email has, for example, 15 to 20 tips in it, and then it'll have, for example, one of the emails has a list of testimonials underneath it. I'll give them the 15 tips for this email and then set testimonials for all the secrets. Another email comes out with another 15, 20 tips in it for internet marketing to give them some good information, and then it talks about the guarantee for all the secrets. The next email comes out and it talks, and it'll give them another 15, 20 tips, and it'll talk about some of the benefits, and it'll be a list of some of the bullet points that are in the sales letter. Basically, we can call this almost a drip system, or where I slowly convince them while educating them on internet marketing at the same time. A third thing that you need to know is you need to keep your emails short and concise. Whereas sales letters, and even for website sales letters, I've found that the more you tell, the more you sell. And whereas a lot of companies like to keep very short websites, they're saying a long copy doesn't work on the web. Well, I've proved that very inaccurate. And in some of our websites, if you print out some of our websites, we have sales letters as long as 21 pages long on a website with extremely high response rates, which proves that the more you sell, the more you sell online, and long copy works on the web. But I found that in email, we'll often find that shorter email copy works better and then takes them to the website. For example, if I was going to send out a sales presentation to my web gold list, I don't put the whole sales letter in the email. I'll put a very short sales letter. Maybe what if you print it out, it would be one page or two pages of the sales letter in an email, and then tell them to go to the website for more information. And I found that short email copy works better. And then use a website for the longer email copy, a longer sales copy. Now, to take you actually another step into the system, I want to talk to you, and the reason we're actually using the 115 Internet Marketing Tips again is the technique for using this, is that what I basically did was I took a notebook around with me, came up with a lot of different Internet Marketing Tips, went through my product, came out with little short tips, and created something pretty quickly, a good report series pretty quickly that has a high response rate. Because by using this technique, you'd be shocked at how many times I've received emails almost every single day of someone saying, I accidentally deleted tip 41 through 60. Can you please resend it to me? Well, think about it this way. What they're asking for me to resend them is my sales copy again, because every tip also comes along with sales copy for the All the Secrets site. So I have people emailing me asking me to please send me the sales letter again. And so guess what? I sure do. I send them over the sales copy again. If all I was doing was just selling and not educating at the same time, I would never have people hang on every email like that. I wouldn't have people saying, well, I missed one. Please send it to me again. By people doing that, I know that they're hanging on the emails. They're reading the emails. We also know it because they're buying at the website through the emails. And what I did was something that anyone can do, whether they're a writer or not. When you actually get into writing articles, that takes a lot of time. But I found that just about anyone, as your first articles you write or a first follow-up series, the easiest follow-up series for you to write on your first try is some type of tip series. Because all of your writing is very short. They're basically just quick ideas. And with that, for internet marketing, I have short little internet marketing ideas. Like one tip might be to use co-registrations and then put the website of Z Media like we talked about earlier. And that would be one tip. And you see, that's just simple. It doesn't really require any writing skill to do that. But it's something that's very valuable to people because they can print these out and they can look over them. And at some of the conferences I've been to, I know that they print them out, because they've showed me the printouts they've done of these, and they put them in notebooks so they can keep track of them and refer back to my sales letter, basically, in their own day-to-day life. And this type of system will be much easier for you to write for your first follow-up series, just because all you have to do is come up with tips. Come up with quick ideas and nuggets that would be interesting to your target market, that would be interesting to your prospects. And with doing that, step number one is to decide on a topic. Make sure it applies to the product you're selling. That's pretty simple and basic. Since I was selling an internet marketing course, my topic was 115 internet marketing tips. Just a tip series about internet marketing, and that applied to my product. No matter what product you're selling, you can come up with some way to have a tip series for that. If you're selling a product that had to do with golf, any type of product had to do with golf, you could have 77 tips for a better golf game. And just have quick tips, ideas that you glean out of talking to other people, that you glean out of just ideas that you might read somewhere else, ideas that come to your head throughout your daily life, training that you've had in the past or anything else. Step two in this type of system is to create a title. And when I talk about creating a title, your title, basically, you have something already built in for a title, and that is tips that you can use. For example, you could have 74 secrets to. You could write these down just to use as a template for creating your own title like this. 74 secrets to. blank. 79 free tips on blank. 28 insider secrets to blank. 92 ways to blank. 113 tips you can use to blank. And just in each of those blanks, insert the benefit that you're going to provide them with, and that's going to come up with a killer title already for you. And then what you do in the follow-up series is you just break up the tips into different sections and send them on separate emails along with some ad copy from your site. Number three, the third step that I'll use with this type of system is that I'll usually break it up, the different tips, into different ways once I actually start looking at them. I'll carry a notebook with me first. We'll say step three, you carry a notebook, and you start writing down the ideas. You just write ideas as they come to you. Write everything that comes to you, every idea that comes to you. Then when you go back to the editing process, which would be step four, you go back to the editing process, take out the ones you don't like, maybe rewrite some of the tips over again, and you can actually go through and end up with however many tips you have will work perfect in the system, doesn't matter how many you have. And then in step five, you can go and separate them up into sections. So we might have, say, 15 tips about so-and-so for my example. Maybe we have about 15 tips about email. We have about 18 tips about web marketing. And in my separate follow-up messages, I put the tips together with their following, the ones in a certain subject. They're all in that specific email, along with some web sales letter copy from the website. And what you can see is by following this type of method, anybody can write a tips article. Anybody can write a series on tips, mainly because it doesn't recall writing. It doesn't require great writing skills. What it requires is you just take a notebook around with you and think of ideas. Use our template model for a title, and then basically break it up, put it in a follow-up series, along with some of the sales content from your site. Like I said, one sales content, I'll have a guarantee. I'll talk all about the guarantee in that email. The next one, we'll talk all about the testimonial. The next one, we'll talk about some of the bullet copy, the benefits from the site. The third one might talk about one of the bonuses. The fourth one might talk about the bonuses. And along down this line, you can see that what I actually do is I give them good information so they read the email. I get them to basically collect the emails. And then also, they're collecting the whole sales presentation along with it. And at any point in time throughout this whole series, they click over to the All the Secrets site. They get our full sales letter. They can print out and read. They can find out more about the product, and we can convert those people into buyers for our product. Any more ideas on doing autoresponder follow-up?
That's just fantastic. That's just amazing, that the power that simply following up with your prospects and doing it in a personalized manner like you described, the effect that that can have on your sales. It literally, I mean, can double or triple your sales just by doing that.
Quite literally. And that is going back exactly what Kurt was talking about the conversion rate. And that's what you're working with. The Sales and Marketing Executives International has done a study that ties in very well to this sequential autoresponder follow-up that you're talking about. They said what everybody in the sales profession has known for years, is that 80% of all the sales that are made on or after the fifth contact. And it's just because it gets past all those things that I was talking about earlier, you know, the credibility and the who is this and why should I listen to you. And with your ingenious strategy of educating them to buy, I mean, that's just the perfect and really savvy use of this technique. And you're a master at it, by the way. I recommend everybody listen closely to what you said.
Well, basically what we found is for us, that's one of the, once you actually work on the sales copy for your site and you've got it to the point where you're getting a good sales rate from the site, often the quickest way to jump the response rate up and get even more sales is to use some type of information by follow-up. And the reason I talk about doing a tip series is because in my work with different clients, I found that a lot of them are really afraid of writing, and what they find much easier is that they can just write down little ideas, and it doesn't require as much writing skill, And just in talking to the people who have received my tips, the most popular follow-up series I have are the ones that just have tip series.
Well, and Terry, tell the readers, because I've seen a lot of your tips, too, and they're all extremely well done. In fact, I try and model a lot of my writing after you, is that you don't go on at great depth. I see a tip from you, and it may be 2 to 3 paragraphs. Is that true?
That's exactly it. And in many cases, we've been testing with it somewhat, and we actually like and a lot of markets just doing a tip and maybe 2 or 3 sentences. And that's all about the tip.
So it's not really a big mind breaker to create these things. You don't have to be an English major.
Exactly. And if you find that you need more than 2 or 3 sentences to describe it, you probably should just break it up into another tip. And
that's a good tip.
There's a tip right there.
that they can use. And quick ideas like this, you're going to find that people really like it because of how busy people are online. They like just tips that they can read through real quick.
Well, and I'll go one further. If they'll start paying attention to the other material that they're seeing from professionals, like, you know, USA Today, Wall Street Journal, iMarketing News, they'll see that that's a preferred approach. Also, you know, here's the 6 steps that you need, or here's the 7 dangers of, or, you know, 92 ways, or 115, you know. It's great. It works. It gives that organization that allows anybody who has normal competence, and practically everybody has normal competence, to become a writer, because it's clarity, not anything else.
Mm-hmm. And basically it's built in. Well, the little ideas I gave on your headlines and just fill in the blank, those are the headlines that everybody can have for their article. And what I found...
It's an outline for the article, too.
You know, it's an outline for the article. It's the headline for your article. And that's what people really need to think about on the follow-up series, is they need to have a really good title for this series, because we've done tests with that, too. And the title often makes half the difference. Where, I mean, we're talking 100% higher response rate, going from maybe 2% sales up to 4% sales just by changing the title of the article series. And our most successful article series titles are usually simple tip-type articles, like the headlines that I gave.
And I thought it was complicated.
Doesn't have to be, I guess. Fantastic.
Yeah, well, listen, Mr. and Mrs. Listener and good friend, we are running now about 10 minutes to the end of this whole session. And so we're just going to kind of go freeform and come up with a couple other ideas and tips that related to anything that in our parting shot that we think that might be interesting, valuable, specifically as it relates to money on demand, but internet marketing specifically. Anybody have any ideas that we can offer our listeners at this moment?
Well, one of the main things, and I'm sure both of you also experience this, that when talking with customers and things like that, is that the importance of just getting started, of just doing 1 or 2 things. Don't feel like you have to do everything all at once. I mean, none of us start out doing everything perfect and running all our tests and having the follow-up email and, you know, writing really good copy. It just starts out, you have to do 1 or 2 things and just progress from there. That's one of the biggest things, is just to tell people to take some enormous action, and everything just will kind of fall into line as you go along. But don't expect it to fall into line the first day.
Well, I would say the same thing. What people listening need to do is they need to save this tape that put it on their desk and listen to it over and over again, because the fact that we've actually presented a lot of different ways to earn money on demand throughout this series, and they need to do exactly what Kurt just said, and that is take one idea first. Start working with one of the ideas that you've heard, apply it, turn it profitable, then guess what? Go keep going through our series and start adding on other ideas that you've heard throughout this, because there's so much content that we've really given you through this that you have enough to apply for the next year of what to put on your site. Basically, just in the response rates alone, you start dealing with what TED talked to you about, you and writing your sales letter. After you have the sales letter up and making money, then work on a follow-up series. Work on the response rates. Play around with the headline. Change it. Add to it. And along the same lines, we have, again, so many ideas that we've talked about here. Take one, focus on it, use it, and then come back and start adding the other ones as you go along.
That is absolutely right. And that's one of the main themes that I keep hammering on in Mail Order Riches, which is designed to show people how to combine, well, it's actually a primer, combine mail order principles on the internet and internet marketing. But I keep coming back, the phrase I use is ready, fire, and aim. You know, in other words, you put something out there, and that is the result. And you come back, and the technical term that we marketers like to use is optimize. Basically, it just means, you know, you send out a letter and or you put something on your website. And this A-B splitting is a perfect example of optimization. You write the same website, except the only difference is the headline, or the only difference is the offer, or the only difference is the guarantee or the bonus. You get a certain number of visitors, and you're going to know which one is better. Now, if you had tried to write the perfect one, it wouldn't happen. And professionals don't think that way. The people who don't know better think, okay, one perfect sales letter and everything's perfect. The professionals understand, hey, here's the six headlines. You know, I've delivered jobs like that. Here's the six headlines that, you know, you ought to try these, blah, blah, blah. What? Don't you know? How can I know which one's going to pull the best, right? Wouldn't you rather risk the improvement?
Well, one thing that I found in my own copywriting for the web is that almost without fail, there's a guaranteed second revision that I come back and do the sales letter after the sales letter's been up for a couple of weeks, because I get a lot of questions that come in about the sales letter by email.
Right.
And I go back in and make some changes to answer the objections and questions that people sent to me email in the sales letter itself a couple of weeks after the sales letter was put up.
Exactly, exactly. And you talk about optimization. One time I wrote a sales letter that wasn't clear on a point, and that was our most frequently asked question. Right? So what I did, I thought, well, this is great. This is a matter of, you know, you're always experimenting. This is what I'm going to feature in the headline. So I tried a new headline, did the A-B split, and sales just dropped to the basement. It was a point that was not important enough to be featured in the headline. It had a negative impact being featured in the headline, but inside the body of the report, it was something that people who got to that point wanted to know, wanted explained. And so who told us this? Our customers, the reactions we got.
And I could mention that along the same lines. It's one thing that we found also in doing our follow-up series by email. Besides the using the tip series, usually on the last couple of articles, which I said we do the tip series, and then we go into a couple of emails at the end, which are more salesy than the actual articles, is a technique that we've used is we've looked in our outbox of responding to customers' questions, and we've used our outbox actual email as one of the final follow-ups to one of our customers, written to one of our customers, basically answering some of the questions or objections they sent to us by email. We just put it into the follow-up series itself.
Boy, that's excellent. Well, listener, we want to thank you very much. We have worked very hard to bring you the best and the latest of internet marketing. And on behalf of Kurt Christensen, Ted C. Yuba, and Terry Dean, we want to tell you thank you, and we wish you the greatest of success in your internet venture.